and welcome to the MDS podcast, the podcast channel of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society. I'm Thiago Otero, professor at the University Medical Center Göttingen in Germany, and today I have the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Laura Silveira Moriyama from the Neurology Department at Unicamp in São Paulo, Brazil, and chair of the Communications Oversight Committee. Today, we are recording the daily highlights of the MDS Congress, and we'll cover day 4, October 8th. So, welcome to the MDS podcast. It's a pleasure hosting you and talking to you, the cover of our program this year.
Oh my God, Thiago, it's such a pleasure to be here with you. I think like we're bonded because you're like originally Portuguese. I'm originally Brazilian. I lived in the UK for 10 years and I've been back home for 10 years too. But it's really lovely to see all this global, interactive society that's growing and reaching to so many different nations and cultures across the globe. And represented here. Yes, I'm on the cover, but everyone is like an MDS heart. Who knows? Maybe you're going to be the cover for next year. No, not the following year, maybe. Next year is Tony Lang.
I don't think so. But anyway, that would be nice. So, Laura, how are you enjoying the Congress so far?
Oh, this has been a very exciting Congress. I think in terms of clinical sessions, we have had a lot more emphasis in kind of more with patient-oriented goals and trying to listen to our patients and deliver much better care. Also from clinical trials, which we're going to talk today, because yesterday was a day full of novelties and exciting news. There has been like progress in terms of disease-modifying therapies and also models, both animal models, in vitro models. And we are also feeling like this sense that MDS is growing globally, so reaching out to more nations. And it was wonderful to see more representation for the Eastern Hemisphere here. So I'm very excited with the way things are going.
Indeed, I think we're living very exciting times and MDS is doing a terrific job on this front. But we are now on the last day. It's amazing how time goes so fast. And I would like to touch on what happened yesterday on October 8th. So we started with a very exciting presentation by Sergio Pasca. And what did you think? Did this touch you in your...
Yeah, that was like a mind-blowing presentation for me. Oh my God. So he's a professor at Stanford University. He has been working in the state-of-the-art in vitro models for a lot of different conditions. And those in vitro models can be used to model diseases of the basal ganglia and the whole circuitry that underlies movement disorder. So it was very exciting. So basically, what he does, and bear in mind, this is like very complicated science. I'll tell you what I understood from it. So he grows stem cells in the lab. So those are human-derived stem cells that are made undifferentiated. So they are pluripotent. They can become any cell. And so he has those neuron type of stem cells and he grows them. And what he noticed is given the appropriate conditions, they grow into something that has a lot of different neuron types. And basically he could reproduce not every single neuron type, but basically many neuron types, like hundreds of neuron types. And those neuronal types, they not only grow and become this sort of a mass of neurons, like that he calls an organoid, and they are called organoid these days, but also this organoid grows throughout the days, and the gene expression pattern in the organoid goes through phases that resemble embryonic development in the postnatal brain. So you can see this organoids growing. In addition to that, if you put those organoids together. So let's say you have an organoid that looks like the cortex and an organoid that looks like the spinal cord. So the neurons will migrate and develop axons from one place to the other. So you can simulate neuronal circuitry that's electrically active. And he even managed to put together like 4 different organoids. And they call this type of construction an assembloid, because you assemble those different organoids, and the assembloids of the basal ganglia model, like that basic basal ganglia model we all learn in medical school. So he put that together, and he managed to get electrical activity. So this could be used to model movement disorders caused by gene mutations or to test new drugs, and it's a very exciting time. So I was very pleased with the talk.
Yeah, no, I think that this field is super exciting, and we couldn't have started in a better way the day of yesterday. And then after this session, we had the clinical breakthrough session. So anything you want to highlight there?
Oh, yeah, I think we really need to think about that. So the way the clinical highlight works, I will have to summarize all of this very briefly, but people can read about this. We had four exciting trials presented at this session. So those are selected trials. They were basically phase two trials, which means they are trials designed to test for safety and tolerability. So not necessarily if the drug is really efficacious in treating a condition. But the interesting thing is all the four trials showed what we call target engagement. So target engagement in clinical trial lingo is when there is evidence from the study that there is a connection between the treatment and the intended biological target, like a biomarker, for instance, or even a clinical marker. So it gives a hint towards efficacy, although it's not designed for it.
Yeah, no, I was super excited to hear more about this. And then what about the session on clinical trials?
Oh, yeah. So that was very exciting as well. So that was a session on disease-modifying clinical trials, past, present, and future. So what to expect. They started off with Tatiana Simuni, who was presenting on the real challenges that have been faced so far. So she talked about how everything that we're doing in disease modification is what she calls tertiary disease modification. So primary would be engaging with the disease biology even before there are any symptoms. Secondary is about stopping the biology from manifesting. And what we are trying actually is tertiary is just prevention of progression, but is it still disease modifying? And she talked about how there are various classes of drugs, including like the ones that target alpha-synuclein, like monoclonal antibodies, active immunization, alpha-synuclein anti-aggregating therapies. Then we have the genetically targeted therapies, like targeting GBA or LRRK2. We have the inflammation drugs, mitochondrial treatments, the DLP1 agonists, incretins, tyrosine kinase inhibitors, oxidative stress, and so forth. So there's loads of different targets, and the drugs that are coming through the pipeline target like those different things, some of them more than one. So that was very exciting. So next, after Professor Tatiana, we had Professor Camille Carroll from the UK, and she talked about patient selection for clinical trials. We who work in science, and I know a lot of people listening are clinicians, but this is a very important thing because it affects directly what a clinician can do after the trial is published. So what she talked about is that basically there is a pull to different directions. So in one way, we want to enrich the sample. So we have patients who are more likely to respond to a treatment. Let's say we enrich the sample by including only people who are LRRK2 positive or who have increased inflammatory markers, depending on what the treatment targets. And then we have a higher likelihood of response. But once the trial is published, how do we apply this to the general PD population? And also she talked about diversity. And diversity is a very important thing. It's not just about equality and fairness, but it's about the fact that different populations across the globe have different biological mechanisms of disease as well. And we need to take that into account. So it was a wonderful talk to hear. And then following that, we had Professor Corvall speaking on behalf of Professor Olivier Roscoe, who talked about trial design. And that was also very exciting because we know how expensive and slow the clinical trial machine is. So he cited actually Tom Fulton's paper saying that every time you do a new trial, you break the whole machine you built with the research assistants, the training of people, the engagement of the patients, and then you build it again. So why not have trials that serve multiple goals? And those are called platform trials. So those are trials that can test multiple drugs. Patients can go from one arm to another arm, of course, with appropriate information and consent. But that gives more of a longitudinal follow-up as well. And it will decrease the cost, increase the speed, and hopefully help us reach a cure for Parkinson's sooner.
Yeah, and there's multiple initiatives on that front taking place in different countries. So I think we'll see exciting results in the near future.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so then we ended the day with, of course, a big highlight of the Congress, the video challenge. So what did you think of the outfits of our hosts, Tony and Kailash?
Oh my God, the video challenge gets more and more exciting. So I think there have been two things. One thing is, I think there has been like a real care from the hosts themselves to build a more compassionate, empathic, patient-focused session. So in this sense, we had a little bit different from previous sessions. So it's not a lot of videos that are very short, but we got cases, some 8 long cases where we get to understand exactly what's going on with the patient, and then 8 shorter cases, and only a couple of videos highlighting specific features. So you have more like a patient immersion. And it was very interesting because the very first case, and I'm sorry if it's like a kind of a spoiler alert, so the very first case was a beautiful case from a child, a young boy who had this abnormal movements. And you could see from the panel that even the specialists were struggling to understand what type of movement he was having. So he had loads of movements before going to bed. He couldn't sleep properly. And so they asked about what questions can you ask this boy to figure out what type of movement he has. And that was something that we normally don't think about. We are used to think about, I see the video, I try to guess what it is. So they were like, ask the patient, what is the patient thinking when he is doing the movement? And it turned out to be a complex stereotypies associated with intense imagery, which it has been described beautifully in the last years. And we see that more often than we expect in children. And it also gave more of a kind of a patient perspective. So it was really lovely. And both of them look dashing, by the way, like in Hawaiian costume and everything. We have the best hosts ever, don't we?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. And their entrance on stage was fantastic as always, but very adequate to the spirit of Hawaii.
Aloha!
Yeah. And since you are on the CSPC, the committee of MDS that puts together the program for the Congress, what suggestions would you have for the colleagues that may want to join us next year for how to best navigate such an intense program with so many sessions to attend? Can you suggest?
That's a good question. So just a reminder that if you cannot go for whatever reason, even affordability, which is a real issue for many of us, including me, like I was seriously considering just staying every day in a hostel because the US and especially Hawaii is so expensive. So if you are an MDS member, you can watch all the plenary sessions online after the Congress. So even for people who have been listening to the podcast and they clearly missed the Congress, you didn't miss the platform sessions because they are recorded and they are available to the members. And another reminder is that for a lot of countries, you're eligible for no-fee membership. So especially like students are eligible for it, and even neurologists and practicing allied health professionals qualify for no fee depending on the country. So check out the website and see if you qualify for membership. Sign up for MDS right now and you go straight to the sessions. You will be able to see the sessions from this year. They'll be available like in a few weeks from now. And for next year, so we're going to follow the same type of program. So normally we have 4.5 days. The morning sessions are what we call platform sessions. So there's huge rooms with thousands of people where we have like speakers talking about basically breakthrough stuff. So this is new things that really we have to be updated about or that are very promising. Or we also have like in the very beginning, the therapeutic plenary sessions. So those are more like, they feel like a teaching update course, which is the state of the art of what we are doing. So those sessions are very useful for both people who need an update and know the field really well, and for people who are just learning because it takes you through the treatment for those conditions. Normally in the afternoon, we have a lot of parallel sessions. So those could be what we call a parallel session. The name is parallel session. It's like a lot of sessions happening at the same time, targeting different topics. And you should choose the topics that interest you the most. Normally for everyone is every single topic. So it's difficult to choose, but you have to make a choice. And we also have some other forms of sessions that happen that are not called parallel sessions. So they are like proper, like clinical skills, for instance, where you actually is more like applied knowledge and teaching sessions as well, which so it's a variety. And of course, we often have like the social gatherings, like during the event, the networking opportunities, like young members networking, like women's networking, other groups networking, and we have the video challenge. So we're going to have the video challenge again, and we're waiting for submissions from all over the world. Yeah, we had beautiful presentations yesterday from young members presenting their cases, and they were beautifully documented, very interesting cases. So it's a really opportunity to like just to showcase your talent, especially if you're young and ambitious and you want to represent your country.
Yeah. Great. So Lara, thank you so much. I think we left many good suggestions for people then to go and try to watch the videos. And it was a pleasure talking to you.
A pleasure to see you too.
Thank you all for listening and join us in our upcoming podcasts.
The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society or their affiliated journals, Movement Disorders, and Movement Disorders Clinical Practice. Any disclosures of the participants can be found within the episode description located on the MDS website.